The young boy snuggled into his sleeping bag. It was 5:30 in the morning, and he had just added several pieces of wood to the small, airtight wood stove. The rain pounded on the roof, and the wind howled relentlessly. He was so thankful. He could hear his mother's soft breathing from the next room, and his young sister's gentle cough. She was just getting over a cold. His mother was getting stronger now. Just last week she had finished her chemo treatments, and the doctors assured them that her cancer was in full remission. Soon she would be able to return to work, waiting tables at the local restaurant. He didn't have much memory of his father, as he had left shortly after his sister was born. They hadn't heard from him or about him for several years. The small trailer they lived in was just perfect, 8 feet wide and 30 feet long. His uncle had installed a small wood stove for them when their furnace quit working. The stove was perfect to keep their small home warm in the coldest of winter days. The young boy's name was John, and he had just had his 12th birthday 3 days before Thanksgiving. He was remembering how happy he had been when his uncle had given him the .22 rifle with a box of shells. His mother had been worried about not having money for a Thanksgiving turkey. John had taken the rifle, walked several miles out the road, and he waited patiently at the head of a small slough. The creek that fed the slough wound its way down the mudflats to the salt water. The tide was coming in, and he knew as the water found its way to where he hid in the brush, the mallard ducks would swim in with the rising tide, feeding as they went, to eventually find their way to the edge of the woods where John lay quietly waiting. As they slowly approached, John could feel his heart pounding in anticipation. He waited for just the right moment, picked out the largest of the ducks, and carefully took aim. He gently squeezed the trigger, and as the flock jumped to fly off, the large drake lay motionless. He had shot it through the head, and it had died instantly. A gentle breeze pushed it into shallow water. John waded out and brought the large fat drake mallard to the shoreline. He carefully cleaned it and began plucking the feathers. When he'd finished, the entire duck was immaculately clean. Free of feathers, he washed it gently in the cold salt water. He smiled now, gave thanks to God for this moment, and began his walk back home knowing he had secured the meat for their Thanksgiving meal. His mother and sister had picked cranberries that fall, and their small garden had produced an abundance of potatoes and carrots. They had invited his uncle for Thanksgiving dinner, and he brought fresh biscuits. His mother found a jar of blueberry jelly, and they feasted on a most wonderful meal in the warmth of their small trailer. John lay in bed still thinking, especially about how fortunate his family was to live in such a wonderful place as Southeast Alaska. They had a shovel and buckets, and whenever necessary, he and his family would go to the beach and gather clams and gumboots. Once in a while they'd get lucky and they'd find an octopus living in a hole under a rock just at the low tide mark. They had a small crab pot that they could bait with clams. On an extreme minus tide, they could set the pot, come back the next day, and find several large Dungeness crab for their taking. His people, the Tlingits, had a saying, "When the tide is out, the table is set." There would always be food for them. His mother and sister loved to gather goose tongue, Indian sweet potatoes, and fiddlehead ferns in the spring. The late summer and fall found them gathering salmon berries, red and black huckleberries, blueberries, and low bush cranberries. They had several cases of jars that they filled with jellies and jams that they saved for the winter larder. John got out of his sleeping bag, rolled it up, and put it behind the couch where he'd been sleeping. He loved the couch. It was so comfortable and close to the wood stove, which made it easier to feed the fire during the night. The stove was airtight, but quite small, so it would only hold the fire for about 6 hours. He slipped on his pants and shoes and stepped out the back door to gather wood from the lean-to next to the trailer. His uncle had helped him build it, and it held about 3 cords of wood, which was enough to get them through the winter. He felt so fortunate. He lived close to the woods. They had an axe and an old saw that would easily cut through the yellow cedar he found along the edge of the muskeg. He'd found a discarded long plastic sled He'd cut the cedar into 5-foot lengths, tied several pieces to the sled, and dragged it home over the muskeg. It worked great with or without snow. At home, he would cut each log into 18-inch pieces and split them with the axe. He would work off and on over the summer and fill the shed to the brim, knowing it would provide heat for them all winter long. They had a very small freezer that someone had given his mother, as they were buying a larger one and they didn't have room for both. John had shot his first deer when he was 10. The night before the hunt, his uncle had told him to prepare himself by praying for a successful hunt, a clean, quick kill, and the promise to use all of the meat and to share it with others. If he was able to kill a deer, he was to give thanks to the spirit of the animal for giving itself up to him. His uncle had also told him to be very careful, as the gun was not very powerful. He had to wait for a fairly close side shot, an aim just behind the deer's eye. If he was careful, one shot should kill the deer instantly. John listened carefully and found this advice to be very valuable. The first deer he took was with his uncle, who carefully showed him how to clean the deer and cut off the scent pads on the hind legs. They washed out the inside of the deer in ice-cold water. Upon returning home, his uncle taught him to cut out the diaphragm, secure the heart and liver, and soak them in cold water. They skinned the animal and let it hang for several days. They made a table out of 2 sawhorses and a piece of plywood. Laying the skinned deer on an old plastic tablecloth covering the plywood, he was taught how to bone out the deer properly. They double-wrapped the meat and put it in the freezer. John's mom had made 2 meals out of the heart and liver. She cut each in thin slices and fried them with bacon and onions. It was incredibly delicious. He was so fortunate to have such a kind and loving uncle who had always watched out for them and helped him learn. Christmas was coming. They didn't have room for a tree, but his mother had acquired a nativity scene, a small barn with Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus laying in a cradle lined with straw. The 3 wise men were there. She had 2 candles on each side of the scene, and it was quite lovely. John knew his 7-year-old sister was wishing for a bicycle for Christmas, but they all knew there wasn't money for one. 2 weeks before Christmas, John was walking home, and he spotted a small bike with a broken chain leaning against a garbage can. He knocked on the door of the house, and the owner said their daughter had outgrown the bike. It was being thrown away. John could have it. They also had a set of training wheels in the garage that they'd forgotten about, and he could have them too. John quickly scooped everything up and went to his uncle's. Together they repaired the chain, painted the bike pink, and secured the training wheels. John found a small package of decorative stickers for 50 cents at the store. The bike looked like new. John got together with his sister and talked about a present for their mom. On Saturday, they went together to 3 garage sales. Their mom was always cold. They found a wonderful used sweater and a down coat in her size. They were just like new. It took most of the money that they had to purchase both of them. It was difficult to hide anything in their small trailer, so they took their gifts to their uncle's where they could wrap them and leave them until Christmas. John's project at school was to make a Christmas wreath for their home. He gathered cedar boughs, found some material for a bow, and hung his project on the front door of their trailer. His mother had found 2 small strings of white lights. One she put around the entrance of the door, and the other she wrapped around the base of the nativity scene, which was placed on the small mantel over the wood stove. Christmas Eve arrived, and their uncle came for dinner. John's mother had prepared a venison roast by cooking it slowly all day. She'd added red potatoes and carrots from the garden. For dessert, she had baked a freshly prepared blueberry pie. The aroma of the wonderful meal permeated throughout their home and was thoroughly enjoyed by all. They talked that evening about how fortunate they were to have each other, to live in such a wonderful world that provided for all their needs. They talked about the birth of Jesus and how blessed they were to know that God cared enough about them to bring Jesus into their lives. They prayed together to give thanks for John's mother's healthy recovery. They basked in the incredible comfort of their warm home and the love that radiated from one person to another on that most special night. John expressed his appreciation and gratitude for the uncle they had in their lives and all the good that he brought to their family. Their tradition was to open gifts on Christmas Eve. The nativity scene was lit by a row of white lights. It glowed on the mantle and reminded them of how special this time was. They were celebrating the birth of Jesus and giving thanks to the Great Spirit for blessing the earth with his message for all. Peace on earth and goodwill to everyone. John's mother was first to open her gift, and she was overcome with joy as she tried on her new sweater and wonderfully warm down coat. With tears in her eyes, she hugged each of her children. Uncle Bill gave her a pair of moccasins and mittens made from a sea otter hide he'd skinned and tanned. John's sister was next, and she squealed with delight as John wheeled in her new bicycle, complete with training wheels and a large bow. The gift was from John and his mother. Uncle gave her a matching pair of moccasins and mittens also made from sea otter. Uncle Bill received a beautiful card that John's sister had made in school, a neck scarf and hat that John's mother had knitted, and a deer call that John had made and engraved with the head of an eagle on one side, which was Uncle Bill's moiety, and a wolf on the other side, which represented his uncle's clan. They all sat in a circle, admiring each other and the gifts that they had received. John was filled with love for this family. Uncle Bill walked outside, and he came in with a long box he'd wrapped in brown paper. He presented it to John and explained it was a gift from all of them. John carefully opened it. He cut open the end of the box and reached inside and slid out a .30-30 rifle. It was a rifle his grandfather had given to his uncle. It was very old and well used. His uncle had refinished the stock, and he had carved an eagle on one side and a wolf on the other, which was John's moiety and clan also. His sister and mother had bought him a box of .30-30 shells. John's eyes brimmed over with tears as he thought of all the years his grandfather and uncle had hunted with this rifle. He thought of all the deer and moose that had been provided for so many families over the last 50 years. He was so honored and so proud to have received this gift from his family. He thanked each and every one with words and with a hug. He vowed to care for the rifle, to pray before each hunt for a clean, quick kill, to thank the Great Spirit, to give thanks to the spirit of each animal that he took, and for the wisdom and the knowledge to use every part of the animal and to share it, not only with his family, but to give meat to those less fortunate as well. What a wonderful evening. They sat and listened while their uncle told stories of the family and all those who had gone before. He shared a legend and explained that in the old days there was no written language and that their history had been passed from generation to generation over thousands of years through these stories. He told them to respect all Mother Nature had to offer, to listen for the voice of the Great Spirit, to give thanks for the breath that brought life to the world. Uncle said to remember that we are small and weak, and we need the strength and wisdom that the Great Spirit brings to each of us. We must walk this earth with respect and honor for all that is around us, to always give thanks for what we have been given. There was magic in the evening and warmth and love in the room. Everyone was content and felt so blessed. John looked forward to tomorrow when he could take his sister to the covered play area at the school and teach her to ride her new bike. His mother would come, dressed in her sweater, coat, moccasins, and gloves. She would be so warm. Uncle Bill would take him out late in the day to try out his new rifle. Life is good. Thanks be to God and this special family.